Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to add, well, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Worship is our topic this month, and as we've talked about the last couple of days, it really is, I think, the most significant thing that we can be talking about, because whatever we worship or whomever we worship is eventually going to control us. We're going to give power over those things, and those things are eventually going to shape and form us and mold us into that image. And that's what we're seeing out there in the world today. And that's why I think the Mosaic Covenant starts with commandment number one, have no other gods before me. And what happened when Israel started to bow the knee to foreign gods? Those foreign gods began to shape them, shape their way of life. And what eventually happened is they were in bondage to those things. So that's why this is such a significant topic. And I want to look at Romans chapter 1 today. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. But the last half of Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 all the way to the end, is really a passage about worship. That is the core issue that Paul is addressing here. He talks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. So God has revealed himself in the heavenlies, and in all that we see, we can discern some things about God. And yet people, through their wickedness, are suppressing the truth about God, so they just ignore it. And so he goes on to say, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. No one can stand before God and give a legitimate excuse. Now, people are going to stand before God, and they're going to come up with every kind of harebrained excuse that they can think of. But none of those excuses are going to hold water, because the evidence is clear. God exists, and God exists in such a way that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Goes on to say, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. So there was the real issue right there. Man knew about God, and yet man chose to worship created things rather than the Creator. So they exchanged the immortal God for images. How crazy is that? But that's what we've done. That's what mankind has done. It says, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So we have this thing called idolatry. What is idolatry? It is the choice to worship created things or images that we have come up with in our own mind and our own imaginations rather than the Creator. That's what idolatry is. And from that idolatrous heart flows the sins of mankind. That's what this passage is talking about. Well, how is that going to be corrected? We want to correct the sins. We want to correct the external activities. But we can try, and that's where laws and legislations legislature comes into play. But those things only affect the external. They cannot reach the heart. Why? Because the heart is still in rebellion toward God and is choosing to worship creative things rather than the Creator. So how does the heart change? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ moves the heart away from worshiping the things out there to worshiping the one true God. So what is the first act of worship that any person can exercise? It's in receiving the Lord Jesus. When you receive the Lord Jesus, you're saying, I want my heart to adore and to bow down and fall before Him and receive His very life, His forgiveness, His righteousness, all those very things. That's when our heart turns away from idols and starts to worship the one true God. So if we're going to make a difference in this world, we need to continue to deliver the good news and turn people's hearts away from the things that they've given power to and come back to the one and the only one who has true power that can change the heart and provide eternal life for those who trust in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, well, here at Basic Gospel, of course, we want to help you experience the joy of true worship every day by sending you a copy of Bob's new CD, Life After Therefore. It's our gift to you this month as our way of saying thanks for your donation to help us reach out to others with the truth of God's Word. Get yours today by simply clicking the link at basicgospel.net. Bob, fill our listeners in on what this message is all about.
Well, Paul in Romans really lays out the gospel story, and he does it in such a brilliant fashion through the first 11 chapters. I think it is the most clear, the most systematic approach to laying out all that Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means to us. And then he gets to chapter 12, and he says, therefore. So after all of these 11 chapters talking about the grace of God and what Christ has accomplished, he gives the therefore. Therefore, present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of worship or your reasonable act of service. And that's what this message is all about. It's going to talk about all of the mercies that we have received in Christ, the grace that is ours through Christ Jesus, but it's going to make a pivot to say, okay, how does that spell itself out in our day-to-day existence? Mm-hmm. How do we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord Jesus Christ to allow him to use us in this world today?
Yeah.
It is really an important resource. We do want to put it into your hands.
Life After Therefore by Bob Christopher, the brand new CD. It's yours for your gift of any amount this month at Basic Gospel. Simply go to basicgospel.net, click the donate link, and we'll get a copy on the way to you.
Yes. Well, Richard, let's talk more about this passage in Romans and really get at the core issue.
And before you do that, I want to give the phone line, because I haven't done that in a couple of minutes, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We want you to be a part of the conversation at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So, you know, here's this issue of worship. We see it outlined for us in commandment number one, mm-hmm. and we realize that Israel had a problem with commandment number one. They didn't do very well upholding their end of the bargain as far as staying true and faithful to the one true God.
Well, what happened while Moses was up on the mountain, receiving the law, receiving all the design for the sacrificial system and everything that went into that covenant? They're down at the bottom of the mountain saying, well, I guess God killed him, so let's invent our own golden calf.
That's exactly
the first thing they did.
Yeah. And they got gold and silver. They melted that down. Mm-hmm. They formed and fashioned an idol out of their imaginations.
Yeah.
They, once it was completed, they put it up on a pedestal or something, and they bowed down and worshiped it.
Yeah.
And they said, you are, O God, are the one who led us out of Egypt.
Yes.
So right then, I mean, 3 weeks after.
Yeah.
All of the Exodus had happened, the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea and them coming to safety, all of them. And then the giving of the law, they are building a golden calf.
Yes.
They're forming it, and they are trying to give it power. And yet the interesting thing about an idol is it has no power in and of itself. Mm-hmm. If it wants to get from point A to point B, a man has to pick it up at point A and walk it over to point B. That's just reality. So it has no power, yet we give it power.
Yeah.
And we start using our imaginations as to what this idol is supposed to be in our lives, and we let those imaginations start to form and shape us in our way of life. Well, that's a departure from what God really has in mind for us. We're to be image bearers. So we are to reflect the image of God to the world at large. Well, when we choose to worship something other than the one true God, then we've departed. We've missed the mark of what our real calling is.
Yes.
And that's what we call sin. That's sin at its core. We've missed the mark of what God has designed us to be, and we've missed it because we've chosen to worship anything and everything other than the one true God. Now, let's back it up historically and go all the way back to the garden. This is exactly what took place, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In the Garden of Eden. So there was this tree of life. There was all sorts of other trees in the garden. And Adam and Eve had total freedom to take from any one of those. Mm-hmm. There was one tree that God said no. And he said, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that, you will surely die. Now, Satan, he's already got his scheme worked out. He's going to go stand right next to that tree, and he is going to lure Adam and Eve to it. And through his deceptive tactics, he's going to make that tree look pleasing to their eyes and pleasing to their minds. And so much so, they're going to exchange the truth about God for the lie of Satan.
Yes.
And they're no longer going to worship the one true God. They're going to worship the tree. Now, that tree really was the tree of death, wasn't it?
Yes.
So what, in essence, Satan did was convinced Adam and Eve to fall in love with death. Mm-hmm. That's what idolatry is all about. It is buying into a lie. So somebody's deceived us, and we're buying into it as if it's true. So we're exchanging the truth about God for a lie. That lie is going to lead to death, and it is so deceptive in its nature and in its essence, we fall in love with death. What we think that lie is going to bring us life and joy and happiness, but in essence, it brings us death.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And notice what God did with this. It's clear when they ate the fruit that the fruit didn't kill them. It wasn't a poisonous tree. What God did was identify that tree, give it an identity that said, this tree is death because it involves things that humans are incapable of dealing with. But it has an identity. And Satan said, no, it doesn't have that identity. And so just exactly as you described, we opted to turn away from life and identity as children of God. And for them, absolute, the first creation, face-to-face relationship with God, they gave that up for this lie, thinking that death was now life somehow.
Somehow.
And it, you know, we've reaped the results ever since.
But that's the power of those forces
yes.
of darkness. They're deceptive. And we can be prone to deception.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need the truth about God. Now, it's interesting when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he talks about, you know, praising them for their faith, hope, and love. And he goes on to give, you know, a little flavor of what that really was for them. And so from the faith standpoint, it was turning away from idols and serving the living God.
Yeah.
So there are idols in this world. We pay homage to them. They can be, any and all sorts of things, can't they? It's not just these little things that we bow down and worship. It could be money. It could be happiness. It could be power. It could be prestige. Those can become idols in our life. And there's some idols that seem to be a little better than others, but it's still idolatry. That's at the root. That's at the core. And that power of idolatry is broken when we turn to Christ, when we turn away from those things and we turn to Christ and start serving the living God. That's what this worship thing is all about. So whoever or whatever you worship will ultimately control you. We see it happening out there in the world today. We've probably seen it in our own individual lives if we will just open up our eyes and pay a little attention. But thank goodness God sent Jesus to turn us away from those idols so that we could worship the one true God and to walk in truth. That's why it's so important for us to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That there's no truth about God apart from him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can see things as Paul wrote in Romans out there in creation. We can learn a few things about God, but we're still left up to our imaginations, our thinkings to try to figure out what God is really like. And because we're sinful coming into this world, because we are dead spiritually, we don't have much in the way of coming up with a clear picture of God. Our version of God is like a Picasso painting. It is distorted mm-hmm. beyond recognition. But when Jesus enters the scene, we get the real picture of God. We get the truth. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth about God. So when we look at Jesus, we find out the truth, and now we can give up the lie and walk in truth. And yes. That's what worship is all about.
Yes, indeed. And friends, again, like we said earlier, we want to help you experience the joy of true worship every day by sending you Bob Christopher's new CD, Life After Therefore. Worshiping Christ means sharing with others the life, the joy, and purpose he gives you. This CD shows you how to make yourself available to Jesus so that his love and grace can transform your life and the lives of those around you. It's our gift this month as our way of saying thanks for your donation to reach others with the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get yours today by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Open lines, time on the clock, 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, a question, guys, from Jane in Federal Way, Washington. She says, I hear lots of pastors state that Christians should ask God to forgive their sin when they commit one. Jesus has already forgiven past, present, and future sins, so shouldn't we just confess our sin instead of asking for forgiveness? It seems like asking forgiveness means Jesus has to be crucified over and over again, but he said it's finished. What do you say?
Well, it is finished. Jesus yes. did shed his blood once for all sin. We need to rest in that. We need to totally take a rest in what God has already accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. And there is a passage that I think is very important. It's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The writer of Hebrews says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So if we're asking God to forgive us of a certain sin, maybe you told a lie. You realized you told a lie. And so you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I lied. Please forgive that. Please forgive my lying to my wife or to my kid or to my fellow workmate. Please forgive that. Well, how is God going to answer that prayer request? Because that's what it is, a prayer request. I've sinned. I'm confessing it to you. I'm laying it out there to you, Lord. But in doing so, I'm asking you to forgive it. That's a prayer request. You're expecting an answer. What's the answer going to be from God?
There's no more forgiveness
offered.
I've already done it.
I've already done it. I sent Jesus. He died. He shed his blood. Because you're a believer, because you're in this new covenant, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Yeah.
It's been done. And that's God's answer to you. It's already been done. So when you get back that answer, you say, thank you. You say, Lord, thank you. So he's not doing anything more to forgive your sin. He's simply reminding you that it's already forgiven, that it's already been done. There's a great passage in Peter that says, you know, folks should be growing in their faith, adding to their faith, goodness and self-control and all those sorts of things. But if that's not happening, if somebody is not seeing those qualities being added to them in increasing measure, it's because they have forgotten that their past sins have been forgiven. Now, it's interesting that Peter uses the word past sins. Well, when you go to the Lord and you say, please forgive me for that sin that I just committed, it's a past sin, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is it's already forgiven. The blood of Jesus has already taken care of it. You have been released from the bondage of sin and death so that you can walk in the newness of life. You've been declared righteous. All that has already been done. So no more forgiveness is required. It is a once and done thing. The minute you receive Christ, you received forgiveness totally. God isn't going to add to it. He's not going to take away from it. We just need to rest in that truth. This is so important, isn't it?
Oh, well, it is. And you know, the passage that people have been beat up with forever is 1 John 1:9. Nowhere in 1 John 1:9 does it say to ask for forgiveness. It says to confess, which means I agree with God. Yes, that was a sinful thing. I went out on my own. And then it says God is faithful and just, and that's where you say thank you. Right? So really the stark answer is if I initiate to God and say, please God forgive me, he initiates right back and says no.
Right.
I already did.
I already did.
And you've got to get that. He says no because I already did. I mean, and until we come to grips with that, we're not ready to take a step into life. And we talk about that a lot. You come to the cross and you realize what he's done with sin. And because of that, you step forward into the empty tomb and realize that you've been given life. And you could not have been given life if you weren't a forgiven person.
That's right.
Period.
The fact that you've been made alive in Christ mm-hmm. is proof that your sins have been forgiven.
Yes.
And that's exactly what John goes on to say uh-huh. in 1 John 2:12. I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Yeah.
So we need to rest in the finished work of Christ. And it's so interesting because we can make these rituals things that we worship.
Yes.
And those things can control us, that I'm doing these things, and because I'm doing these things, then I'm drawing closer to God. So we put ourselves in the driver's seat instead of putting the Lord in the driver's seat. He's initiated to us. He sent Jesus. He didn't ask us about that. He simply sent Jesus. Jesus died. He shed his blood. When we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Let's rejoice and praise God. And that's a reason to worship him
absolutely
forever.
Without question. And if you have a question and can't get to us during the live broadcast, that, of course, is 3 p.m. Central Time daily as it starts, you can voice it or write it 24-7 at basicgospel.net/ask. Soon, you'll hear your voice with your question on Basic Gospel. That's again at basicgospel.net/ask. Experience Life After Therefore. That's the title of Bob Christopher's new CD, and we want to help you experience true joy of worship every day by sending you a copy. Worshiping Christ, as we've said, means sharing with others the life, joy, and purpose he gives you. Bob's CD explains how to make yourself available to Jesus so that his love and grace can transform your life and the lives of those around you. It's our gift to you this month as our way of saying thanks for your donation to reach out to others. Again, get your copy at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our study edition of Basic Gospel.